Back here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase on this Monday morning. Hope everybody's having a good start to your week. Let's talk with TD, Terron Davenport, NFL Nation reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com. He covers the Titans, and he's a regular on the show, and he joins us now. Terron, what's up?
Nothing much, man. Marquise took me back to last night, the last dance, with that music, you know, that KRS-One rapture. I appreciate that lead-in.
Let me tell you this. Marquise is digging that soundtrack to The Last Dance.
Yeah, I am too.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It definitely brings back memories. There's no doubt about that. By the way, let's get your quick thoughts. What have you thought through 8 episodes? Just 2 more to go.
I absolutely love it. It's great. And even, you know, I grew up a Knicks fan. I had to, you know, disbar them. I got rid of them since. But growing up a Knicks fan and seeing some of those, you know, like last night they showed Scotty dunk on Patrick Ewing and then tell Spike Lee to sit down, you know, that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But it's all good, man. I love the documentary. It's been great. And I like getting that inside look at Michael Jordan, like how they ended the 7th chapter last night, you know, with him talking about how he competed and he showed his hands and they were all jacked up and, you know, tears started to well up and his voice started to break. I love being able to see the passion, you know, that people have for the game. And it's just something that, you know, if you have it, you really appreciate it when you see someone else with it.
By the way, when he did raise his hands, I thought the same thing. I was like, that looks like an offensive lineman's fingers, just all jacked up. I mean, where you can point to, you know, 4-3 different directions with one finger.
Willie athletes. Willie knows, man. You know, you play basketball now. Thank goodness I didn't play it all the time, you know, and at the level that Willie did. But he knows, man, his jammed fingers are a regular occurrence.
Oh, yeah. And the fingernail getting separated from the tip fingertip. You know, the ball just catches you the wrong way. Yeah, just part of it.
Logan Ryan said the Titans really never tried to even bring him back. What did you make of Logan Ryan saying goodbye last week? It was very clear when we had Christian Fulton on and I announced he's going to be number 26. And, of course, the signing of Jonathan Joseph, it looked like the writing was absolutely on the wall at that point that there was not going to be a Logan Ryan. What did you make of his comments?
Yeah, I actually got to hear that last night on the podcast there with Devin and Jason McCourty, and I thought it was really interesting. It's unfortunate, but like you said, it is a business. I thought it was pretty cool how he went back to them and said, hey, you know, I want to finish what I started. I am willing to come back on a one-year deal. I just want what I made last season, and it still didn't happen. So that tells me that Jonathan Joseph, I find it hard to believe that he's anywhere near $10 million for this one-year deal that he's with them. So I think it's just unfortunate. I just cannot believe that he's still on the market because despite what a lot of people think, I feel he's a very good cornerback and he's someone that could help a team.
$10 million a year good?
I feel like as if, yes, $10 million a year, especially if – you're a team. I think a team like the Lions would be awesome, you know, for him to come in and be a mentor to Okuda and also help implement that whole Patriots mindset, you know what I mean, that their coach, Matt Patricia, bought from New England. I think he would be an awesome locker room guy for them. And there's an assortment of teams, honestly.
Why don't you think he's been signed to this point? I mean, we're in mid-May. Why do you think he hasn't found a home?
Well, you know what? He said it last night. He said that he had a few multi-year deals, you know, but he just was not 100% feeling them. So that tells me that it's partially him wanting to go to the right situation, and that right situation hasn't come his way. And obviously, COVID-19, like, it has affected us, it affected him, and it affects everybody on the planet. So I think that has a lot to do with it.
Jeffrey Simmons had his moments. A.J. Brown had more moments just because he was out on the field more. How would you answer this? What rookie has the best chance of being the most impactful next season?
I think it's going to be Christian Fulton. And It's just funny the way this team, for the second time in a row, found the best player of their draft class in the second round. And Fulton, he's going to come in. I feel like he'll be an excellent nickel corner. I talked to Corey Raymond on Talking with TD last week, and he talked about how he's a guy that really fits that position, how he could run the vertical routes. He said that they put him on some of the faster receivers to run those vertical routes with him last year. So I think that's a good thing. I feel like he'll come in and be a competitor, right, and contribute. And I think just playing at LSU, you know, that place that I think right now is DBU. You know, Ohio State is close, but I think it's LSU. And I think coming from that grooming station for defensive backs, he's going to be an immediate contributor.
Overall, what jumped out to you on the Titans' schedule?
On the schedule, I'd probably say it's great that they got the three primetime games, but I thought it's interesting how many young quarterbacks they're playing. And that's something I put in my schedule post. Josh Allen, say what you want, he's still a young quarterback, and he had his team in the playoffs. Obviously, Lamar Jackson, the reigning MVP. You look at Drew Lock and what he has up there in Denver. I think that's a good factor. There are a couple other young. I mean, they're going to face the number one draft pick in Joe Burrow's, and then and then they'll face Baker Mayfield as well. And let's see how Stefanski could keep that thing going in the right direction with Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry. So I think it's the young guns getting to face them.
Boy, excellent observation. That you know, there's so many ways to look at it, for sure, and it's a long way off. I think about the very first game, Teron, and we were debating this.
Yeah.
I guess the odds came out, and the Titans are an underdog to the Denver Broncos, a team that on paper seems like it's, you know, restructuring, somewhat rebuilding. They weren't very good last year. But it just shows you how much of a toss-up some of these games are, even though, you know, like you're saying, they're going to be facing a young quarterback, but barring a huge change. We don't know what the situation's even going to be in the stands. But, you know, on paper, in a lot of our minds, you know, I heard Darren and Chase use the word should win. But when they're an underdog in the first game, that tells you that there's so little difference between teams that were in the AFC Championship game last year and a team like the Broncos that basically went nowhere last year.
Yeah, it does tell you there's really little difference. And, I mean, it really comes down to who catches fire towards it. And I thought it was interesting that they are an underdog. I think basically what they're saying is on neutral ground, it's a push because the Titans are getting 3 points in this case. And, you know, 3 points typically goes to the home team. But it tells you what people think of this Titans team. And I think they're right where they want to be, whereas they're not the darling. They're not the team that everyone's picking. They're not the team that everyone expects to win. But they know full well their style of play going in, making it into a backyard fight is going to keep them in the game and chances are give them a chance to win it.
I want to come back to your article with Logan Ryan for just a second. He said Tennessee, this was, I guess, a quote of his on the McCourty's podcast, Tennessee never really offered me a contract. They never really talked extension or free agency. They never really tried to bring me back. And then coupled with your interaction with him, Teron, I do wonder about this scenario, right? Because this is a unique offseason, to say the least. If he's still sitting there in another month or two and he hasn't gotten what he's wanted, there's not a situation he's interested in, and the Titans, let's just say, for example, they don't get Jadeveon Clowney, and they have some money sitting around, and the price drops. I'm just wondering why they shut the door between the two of them. That's curious to me, because Logan Ryan is a guy that can help a team. And I would do everything I could if I'm John Robinson to keep the door open.
You know, honestly, I think, and I'm not saying this is the case, but I think they feel what they're going to get from Jonathan Joseph will give them what they would have gotten from Logan Ryan as far as that veteran in the locker room. I think at the same time, that hybrid of Amani Hooker, Christian Fulton, Adoree Jackson, and even Dane Cruikshank as the nickel I think they feel that's going to that whole combination is going to work for them, and I don't think they wanted to wait around. I think they made that decision early on in the process, because also in that article it quotes Logan Ryan, who said that they told him that they probably weren't going to be able to afford him, and they had other guys that they needed to bring back. I mean, Logan Ryan was one of those 20 expiring contracts. So when they say they have other guys they wanted to bring back, that pretty much is saying from the jump, he's not in their future plans. So it's just one of those things where they wanted to get cheaper. They felt like they got faster, you know, with Fulton and younger with Fulton. So that was the move.
Tell us the difference, if any, of the role that Jonathan Joseph will play. Obviously, he's older. He's at a different stage of his career. We feel like it's a given that he's got the intangibles. Just to make it in this league this long, you have to be offering things beyond just what your playing ability is. But specifically where he fits in the defensive scheme, where is that in your mind? What is the role, Teron?
I think he's going to be an outside corner. And to be honest with you, in my opinion, the day one starting trio is going to be, and I say trio because you know teams use three receiver personnel so much. So I say trio, and I imagine it being Malcolm Butler and Jonathan Joseph on the outside and Adoree Jackson on the inside. Now, of course, they'll rotate. As I said, Fulton's going to be a contributor. But I think that's where Joseph is going to fit in. And that's something I asked him because he's a guy that came into the league known as a speed corner, right? He ran a 4.31, so the dude had plenty of speed. He still feels like he has that speed, but I asked him how he's adapted, and one of the things that he said was being better with route recognition and understanding things, and I think that's really good to have a veteran guy. They absolutely had to have a veteran guy like Jonathan Joseph or Logan Ryan in that locker room to help Christian Fulton make that transition and to be with him and help him understand the route combos. You know, a guy like Joseph is known as a locker room leader, as a locker room presence, and he's starting to ingratiate himself in that way in some of these Zoom meetings that they're having. But the good thing was he's learning from others too. So it just adds to the group. I think that's how he'll fit in both in the locker room as well as on the field.
Teron Davenport is with us from ESPN. And, TD, I had the chance on Friday night as a part of our game night to talk to a former Titans fullback, Lorenzo Neal. And, you know, Lo Neal is all about making fullbacks great again and making them have a prominent role in the NFL. But the Titans last year signed Kari Blasingame as that fullback, H-back kind of player, and we saw how much of an impact that he had. So how much does a guy like that change the offense, so to speak, or add more of a weapon to the offense? And what do you expect out of Blasingame this year?
I expect him to have a Kyle Juice check type of role if you watch what the 49ers did with him as their fullback. I think even looking back to the Raiders game where he had a couple of nice catches, one down the field, you know, a jumping catch, that was a really good reception that he had. And he's someone that gives them a weapon out of the backfield. And the thing that I like about him from a receiving standpoint is he carries on that theme that just seems to be something with all of the Titans pass catchers, ability to get yards after the catch. And they are very hard to tackle. You saw with Jonnu Smith, we don't have to mention the yak monster, A.J. Brown, you know, and then Corey Davis does a solid job of that. And obviously, you know, Humphreys gets free yards, but I think Blasingame adds to that. So now he's another person that can help you out in the passing game. And then he's not a bad fullback. And the thing that's interesting with him is you could even give him the ball at times if you want to do that, you know, like those fullback traps or those type of things. So he gives you just another weapon in the overall picture. And I think for Arthur Smith, that's all he could ask for, is to have an assortment of weapons. And he showed that he does a good job of getting everybody involved.
Teron, you and I on Chasing TD on Friday nights during football season, we, you know, you have a very good relationship with the coaching staff, and we talk a lot about, you know, their evolution and how much that they have grown, Vrabel going into year three. But what are you expecting out of Art Smith, the second year offensive coordinator for this team, And how do you see the offense evolving now that he has a lot of the main pieces that are going to be back for the second consecutive year?
I think you're going to continue to see a reliance on Derrick Henry and the running game, but I think you're going to see a little more creativity and just some ways to stretch the field off of that. So I expect to see more than just Khalif Raymond running those post routes off of play action. I think they're going to find ways to really get Adam Humphries involved, because right now, you know, he's their cash cow, you know, at the receiver position. He's the guy that they have the most money in. But overall, I just expect to see more explosiveness and creativity. And I think when you get a guy like Arthur Smith, you give him time to just sit down and look at some things. And I've had conversations with him. He's very creative, and he has a lot of things in his mind that he wants to get onto the field. So I think you're going to see that.
Speaking of Derrick Henry, and we've had this conversation before, of now that the draft is done, now that free agency, for the most part, is done, you just now have to work through your draftees' contracts. Could you see more movement on a Derrick Henry deal in the coming weeks before we get into June?
I think they will have more movement. It's something that John Robinson said, that their focus is now turning towards that and some of the other things that they're working to do to construct the roster. So I think Robinson is, you know, a man of his word. So I would imagine that they would be working towards getting that deal done. They know Derek wants to be there. They want Derek there. So I could see that happening.
Teron, good stuff as always. Appreciate it. Enjoy the beautiful weather today.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I appreciate it. And, you know, just want to give a shout-out to my guy, Calvin. It's Calvin Smith. He's moved on, and it was great having him as my producer. But I got another homie in Elijah Campbell, so I'm looking forward to it.
Very nice. We are very happy for Calvin Smith. He is way too smart to be with us, so he has moved on. He's going to take that brain somewhere else and help out Nashville SC, so we're really happy for him. Teron, thanks for saying that, and good to talk to you. Have a great week.
Yes, sir. You guys do the same.
All right, Talking with TD, that is his podcast. Check it out. It's really good stuff. And, of course, he joins us here on a regular basis on Darren, Donick, and Chase. We'll come back more here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.